Well, good evening. Thank you, Corey. Merry Christmas. I guess it's Merry Christmas Eve. It doesn't quite count, but I'm so glad that you are here tonight to celebrate with us. We're going to have a great time of worship tonight. And I want to start off by telling you we're going to have a really quick, we're going to start right away coming out of the chute. We're going to have a video, a very short video, and it's a video on the real Christmas. So enjoy this.
An angel came to see Mary. She was home doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're gonna have, Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
Well, they tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable, and then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, to have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
That it's cute. Anyways, so tonight is going to be a little bit different. We've got something for the kids a little bit later. We've got some Christmas hymns and songs that we're going to sing together. There is some scripture reading. There's going to be videos about the Advent candles and an opportunity for you to just sit and pray and contemplate. So there's a lot in the service today and in this evening. And so we want to just take the opportunity to enjoy this together. I do want to let you know, most of you got a letter to Jesus handed to you on your way in from one of the ushers. You may be wondering what that's all about. And so I'm going to let you know, there's something we're going to do a little bit different tonight. And that is this. We have a tradition in our home. It actually started with my wife when she was a little girl in their home. And we have a tradition that we simply write a letter to Jesus every year. And usually what it is, it's something in our life that we want his help with, or that we want to give up, or we want to surrender. And so we write a letter to Jesus, and we fold that up, and we put it under in this little manger in front of our Christmas tree. And then on Christmas morning, we go around and we read that letter to each other. We read the letter from last year, and it's always an encouragement to see how God has been working. And I thought, you know, this would be really interesting to do at our Christmas Eve service. And so that is what is in your hand. It's optional. It's not a test. You don't have to do it. But throughout the night, if you want, there is a manger down at this end of the stage down here. And you just take the opportunity, if you feel like it, to just write something to Jesus. Dear Jesus, I love you. I really want to work on my devotions this year, or whatever it happens to be. There will be opportunities during the service when there's videos happening about the Advent calendars. It's a perfect time. If you want to just come up, put it in the manger. We don't have to make a big deal about it, and then go back to your seat. But I just thought it would be a really interesting thing that if God is just touching your heart, speaking to you in some way, write a letter to Jesus and put it in the manger just as an act of worship. I also wanted to let you know, I've been asked to let you know, sometimes people come to this and they say, we want to give to the church, we don't know how. We don't talk about giving a lot here. And if you're a guest, we don't expect you to give. But if you want to give out of worship, there are boxes on the back walls and you can just slip an offering in there. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Tonight is about worship. Tonight is about worshiping our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And some of the service is going to be in English and Spanish. You'll see English and Spanish up on the screens. We're not going to be reading scriptures in Spanish or anything like that, but it will be up on the screen for those of you who are joining us from the Spanish ministry. And we want to turn it over to our worship team. The rest of the night is just going to kind of flow. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be contemplative. It's going to be thought-provoking. And so just enjoy it. Enjoy the service for what it is. It's a worship service for our Savior Jesus Christ. And I'll turn it over to Scott.
As we begin worship, I want you guys to know you don't have to stand up for every song. That is optional to you. I will invite you to stand for specific songs. So if you'd rather just sit down, be meditative to the Lord, feel free to do so. But I will invite you to stand if you choose to either stand or sit. That's up to you.
Holy night. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Let's sing First Noel together.
continued both day and night. No, well,
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is also called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there is no place for them in the inn.
Amen. Let's all stand together and worship together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing, and we will sing, sing, sing. Joy to the world. Sing, sing, sing.
Sing together, the Savior reigns.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains.
Joy to triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Come, all ye faithful.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me the word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures. They offered him gifts of frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Amen. Let's stand together for this song.
Let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
Go and see.
Go and see that empty tomb. He's not there, for he is risen. Every heart prepare him room. Jesus Christ, the King of heaven. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore.
Merry Christmas. So we come to that time of our Christmas Eve service when we invite some of the boys and girls to come down and join me here. So if you have a child who's 3 on up to 12, they're welcome to come down and just gather some floor before me here. And we're going to talk a little more about what happened on that first Christmas. And if you have a 3 or 4-year-old, I'm going to ask something of you. If you as a parent would come with them, that would help me shepherd. Here they come. Okay. You're 4 and a half? Awesome. That is awesome. Anybody else 4 and a half? Okay. Nobody else. Oh, this is awesome. We have lots of boys and girls here tonight. We'll let them get up here and just kind of grab some floor right in front of me. There's space right here. But you don't want to play with the lights or the candles because it's bad. And so we don't want you to do that, okay? Hey, how are you guys? Are you excited?
Yeah.
Okay. We had our Christmas today because some of our family can't be with us on Christmas Day. So we already had our Christmas. So I don't know what we're going to do on Christmas Day. Could we just come over to your house and eat your food and share some of your gifts? Would that be all right? Sure, okay. There's one kind and gracious person amidst us here. So I was reading my magazines. I'm a pastor. I got a bunch of magazines. And yesterday I saw a headline that was sad. It was very sad. You know what it said? Bethlehem cancels Christmas. Bethlehem cancels Christmas. That's a sad announcement, but I have a good announcement. I have a glad announcement, and that is this. God did not cancel the first Christmas. Isn't that good to know? He didn't cancel the first Christmas. Now, I have a paper here because I'm kind of an old guy, so I have to look to see what I'm supposed to say next. Now, the first Christmas night had to be pretty special. What do you guys think? Do you think that first Christmas night was pretty special, was pretty awesome, was pretty holy? Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary. It was unique. So let me ask you some questions here. What made it special? Was it Bethlehem? Was there anything special about Bethlehem? What can you tell me about Bethlehem? Okay, they didn't like their king. They wanted a new king. That's exactly right. And the guy in charge actually didn't even live in Israel. You know where he lived? He lived over in Italy. And he was a king, and nobody liked him, not even his wife. Nobody cared for him. And he said, everybody has to go to Bethlehem if that's your hometown, and you got to get registered because I need more money. And that's why Mary and Joseph headed to Bethlehem, because that was their hometown. It's got another name. You know what Bethlehem is also called? The City of David. Why do you think it's called the City of David? That is excellent theology. She must be schooled by some very fine theologians. So, she's my granddaughter. And so, City of David, you're absolutely correct, because the most famous king in all of Israel was King David, and that's where he grew up. That's why it's called the City of David. But I don't think that was the main thing that made that night special. Or how about those angels that appeared to the shepherds? That had to be the greatest birth announcement ever, right? Angels announcing that the Lord Jesus had been born in Bethlehem and invited all of those shepherd guys to go into Bethlehem and check it out. But, you know, I think there's another reason why that night was very, very, very special and wonderful. And you know why? Because there was a baby born. And that wasn't so unusual, but it's who that baby was. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about that baby, because he was very unique. The angel told Joseph, Jesus' father, that his title, his baby's title, is going to be Emmanuel. Can you guys say that with me? Emmanuel. Very good. And does anybody know what Emmanuel means? Anybody? That's good. Anybody else? What does it mean? Anybody know? It means God is with us. Stop and think about that. Baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem on that first Christmas, his title is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now here's something to think about. God came to be with us so that we could go be with him. Isn't that a good deal? He came so we could be with him. So that's kind of a special thing about this baby. Now, several months before Mary had Jesus, one day there was an angel who came to her and said, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said, well, that's a problem because I'm not married. And the angel said, that's okay because the Holy Spirit, who is the third member of the Godhead, the Trinity of God. And the Holy Spirit came over her, and guess what happened? Miracle. Miracle. Inside of her, a baby boy was brought into being. And here's the thing about this baby boy. He was at the same time a man, but he was God as well. And he wasn't 50-50. He wasn't 60-40. He wasn't 70-30. He was 100% God, 100% man. And my friends, that is a miracle. And God is the greatest miracle worker in the universe. Do you guys believe that? God is the greatest universe. Stop and think about it. He created the world we live in out of nothing in 6 days. Whoa! Can you guys do that? I don't think so. And then when the Israelites were trapped by the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea so they could get through safely to the other side. Can you guys do that? No, I didn't think so. Our God is so great that he created in Mary a Savior. As a matter of fact, Joseph was told, you are to name him, you say it with me, Jesus, exactly. And you know what Jesus means? Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord, can you say that with me? The Lord saves. And on that first Christmas night, that's who was born. You see, he had to be God so he could be a perfect sacrifice. That's the only kind God would accept for sin. But he had to be a man because God's a spirit and God doesn't die. He's eternal. So he had to be a man so he could die, but also so he could become one of us and identify with us. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is a man. He's just like us. He got tired and he had to go to sleep at night. He had to eat food. He had to walk, and he would get tired when he walked. And he did miracles, to be sure. But at the same time, he was just a man. But at the same time, he was also God. And he had to be God so he could die and be accepted as a perfect sacrifice. But he had to be a man so that he could die. Now, here's the thing. Christmas Day was Jesus' arrival on earth, right? And Jesus had a rescue mission. Jesus had a rescue mission. He had to come to earth and rescue sinners. And here is the most famous verse in the Bible. I bet you guys know this verse. How many of you know the verse, John 3:16? Okay, you say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Very good, eternal life. It's a theologian again speaking on that issue. Here's the deal. Listen to this. Jesus changed his address so that we could change ours. Where's our address? It's earth. Where's his? Heaven. And he came from heaven to earth so that we could change our address one day when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And then when we pass from this life, we get to go home to Jesus in heaven because he came here to make that possible. Isn't that good news? Now, I have something in this bag. Anybody read that on the bag? What does it say? Happy birthday. Now, granted, that's exactly right. It's happy birthday, Jesus. All right, now, we're going to do something here. We're going to do something here. There's something in here I'm going to pull out, and it's a birthday cake for Jesus. Okay, now, listen carefully to my instructions. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to give you guys your candy. Okay, one of these, each of you can take one, and these are called listening candies. And when you eat them, you listen really good. And you know what? You didn't even need them because you guys listened really good without them. But you can take one or two, as this gentleman took. Okay, one for the brother. All right. I'm going to take six for my family. And, yeah, everybody's going to get one. Okay. Okay. Well, you grab one for her. You can eat. Hey. Once you get them, have a sit. Once you take one, did everybody get one? Nope, we got a few here. And you can eat them right now if you want to, but you have to take the wrappers and give them to Mom and Dad and let them throw them away. And if they don't, you just tell me, okay? Did everybody get one? Oh, okay. Now, these are Werther's. These are not chewing candies. These are ones you suck on, okay? All right, did everybody get one? Oh, very good, very good. All right, now what we're going to do, we're going to sing happy birthday to Jesus, but first I have to do an important thing here. I have to light these candles, and these candles, this is the thing about props. Props don't always work well, but we're going to light these candles, and they're supposed to sparkle, and once I get them going, like I said, props are, you never know. There we go. Okay. Once we get these lit, I'm going to ask all of you to kind of stand around this cake. And then we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And then after, oh, there it goes. And then afterwards, I'm going to count to three, and then I want everybody to blow out the candles, okay? But don't blow them out until I count to three, okay? All right, everybody ready? We're going to sing Happy Birthday first. You guys ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. No, wait. Okay, I'm going to light them again, and then I'm going to count to three. And then, okay, let me count to three. One, two, three. Oh, good job, good job. Now I have good news for you. When you go back to your parents, when you leave, more candy. Woo-hoo! Candy canes. Hey, let's give these guys a hand. They were superb listeners. Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Yeah, help yourself. But wash it.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone
I'm not going to sing it. I am not going to sing it for you. Hello, Taylor. I asked my granddaughter to come up here because we have this little tradition we've been doing in our regular morning worship services. We've been lighting the Advent candles, and we have all four lit. And tonight we get to light the Christ candle, which has been our focus tonight. So I've asked my granddaughter, Taylor, if she would come up with me. And can you figure out that gizmo? If you can, I'll help you. Don't light it near my sweater. Poof. Here, I'll help you with it. We're going to go like this. We're going to squeeze. And we light the Christ candle. Thank you, Taylor. I appreciate that. You can go back down. Thank you so much. Well, we're just about wrapped up. But I wanted to come up here and let you know the real reason behind Christmas, and you all know because we've been talking about it all night. I'm a big fan of those cheesy Christmas movies, you know, the ones where there's kissing at the end, every single movie, you know. I'm a big fan of those, but what's really interesting to me is as those movies go, somebody always Christmas. And when they talk about the real reason for Christmas, they talk about things like love for family, or they talk about love for mankind, or they talk about it's the season of giving, or they talk about whatever, and they tend to miss the real reason for Christmas. And the real reason for Christmas is Christ, right? The real reason for Christmas is that Christ came and died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us hope and peace and relationship with Him. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And Pastor Chris explained very well, Emmanuel is simply God with us. I want you to think about that for just a second. The creator of the universe with us. It's pretty amazing. Almighty God with us. But what does that mean? What does that look like? What does it mean with us? Does this keep cutting out? Do I just need to yell? Okay, well, we'll deal with this. But what does it mean that God is with us? And I've got a couple of little perspectives from kids. I want to read this to you. They read the Christmas story a lot in Tracy's house, and she had heard it many times. It was a good story. There was a part of it Tracy didn't like, though. And one Christmas, she decided to do something about that. So she asked her mom if she could read the Christmas story this year instead of her mom and dad. Her mom agreed that Tracy could indeed read the story. When Christmas Eve came, everyone gathered in the den. Tracy put the big family Bible on her small lap and opened it up to the appropriate place. When she came to the place in the story where Joseph knocked on the innkeeper's door, she read it like this. "Good evening, sir. My wife is going to have a baby tonight. We need a place to stay. Do you have room for us here?" The innkeeper, according to Tracy, replied, "Well, our place is very crowded, but there's always room for one more. Come on in." Tracy closed the Bible, put it on her lap, looked up at her family. Very pleased with herself, she said, "Now that's better, isn't it?" Tracy reminds us that we can't change Christmas to be something that we want it to be. Christmas is what God intended it to be, what it always will be, and that is God with us. I'll just yell. Oh, there I am again. The Apostle John said in John chapter 1, verse 1, and then in verse 14, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So who did God come for? Or for whom did Jesus come? Well, he came for real people, in real situations, in a real world with real problems. He came for you and I. Little Tommy had the right idea. About a week before Christmas, he was busy with paints and brushes at his small table. His mother came into the room and asked what he was painting. Tommy pointed to paper stretched out on a table and explained his picture, pointing to a brown structure in the right corner of the picture. "Well, this is baby Jesus' house." Then, putting his finger on the large yellow star above the house, he explained that the wise men found the manger by looking at the star. "And is that a wise man bringing gifts to Jesus?" His mother pointed to a man carrying two bundles under his arms. "Oh, no," Tommy corrected his mother. "That's Joseph taking out the trash." Again, from a child, right? Child's perspective, it's a real story with real people in real circumstances. It's not some fantasy that we talk about. It's not just sentimental. It's not just about family, although that's wonderful. It's not humanistic. It's not just about showing love to your fellow man. Some people, it's just hedonism. It's just an opportunity to party and to celebrate and have a couple days off work and that kind of thing. But here's what I want to tell you tonight. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss what it's truly all about. And some of you might be thinking, is God really with us? And I don't know who all is here. We have lots of visitors. I don't know what your circumstances are as you come here tonight. I don't know if you're coming with joy in your heart. I don't know if you're coming and you were prepared and you were ready to worship Jesus Christ. Or I don't know if maybe you came with some relatives and you're not sure about any of this, but it's kind of a nice thing to do. The lights are pretty and the people are nice and, you know, it's kind of makes you feel good. I don't know if you come with pain in your heart because of your life circumstances, maybe illness, maybe a job situation that's not good. maybe past hurts, maybe current hurts, I don't know. Maybe you come and you're none of those things, but you're just a little hostile, but you're going to be nice while you're here. You know, maybe this is all baloney to you. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ came. He was born. He lived. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. And he did that for us. He did that for you and for I. Matthew 1:21. I'm just going to read some verses. Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Philippians 2, 7 and 8, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Hebrews 1, 3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's who Jesus is. He's not just a baby in a manger. He came to save us. He came to redeem us. He came to give us hope. And I'm going to ask kind of maybe a trite question, but I've got a point in this. What does Jesus want for his birthday? What does Jesus want for Christmas? You know, the Bible actually gives us an answer for that. John 17:24 says this, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. Jesus wants to be in fellowship with you. Jesus wants you to worship him. In the book in the New Testament in Romans 3, it gives us a very, very clear path to how we can know that we are in relationship with our Creator, with Jesus. Romans 3:23 says this. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It takes us understanding that we have a need. It takes us understanding that all have sinned. That means all. And we fall short of God's glory. God is other than. We are not. God is holy. We are not. And because of that, the Bible says that we have a sin problem. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin or the punishment for sin is death. And it goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Unto us a son is given. Unto us is born, right? Unto us is born a Savior. Unto us. You might be here tonight and you're hearing this and maybe your whole life you thought you had to kind of clean yourself up and get your act together and do certain things and become a good person and not be that person that you don't want to be and kind of clean yourself up and come to Jesus and bring yourself and say, okay, now I'm ready. Now will you accept me? And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Jesus came to die in our place. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus deserves our worship. He deserves our gratitude. And my question tonight is, will you come and adore him? Will you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And it's as simple as this. It's as simple as praying and saying in your heart something like this, saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot do anything to earn favor with you because you are a holy God. But God, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that he came to this earth and for the purpose of dying on the cross for my sins. God, I thank you that he rose from the dead, that he lives. And God, I want to surrender my life to you. I want to place my faith in that. I know there's nothing I can do to earn your favor, but I want to place my faith in that. And the Bible says, if you admit you're a sinner, you repent of your sin, you place your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, that he will come to you. He will be your Savior. And maybe this could be the first Christmas that you celebrate as a true worshiper of Jesus Christ. We're going to watch briefly the last candle, the Christ candle. There's some scripture in there. There's some prayer in there. And when the Christ candle is done, we're going to sing together Silent Night. But while the Christ candle video is being played, I want you to watch what it says. It'll be on the screen. I want you to pray along with it. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would beg you tonight. If you're being under conviction, don't put it off. If you're listening to this, you know, that makes sense. And God is speaking to your heart. Don't miss Christmas. Place your faith and trust in him. You've got those little papers with the letter to Jesus. Maybe just write out a prayer. Maybe just write out, God, I'm a sinner. I know that. I'm placing my faith and trust in you. I'm confessing you as my Lord and Savior. And bring it up and place it in the manger. You don't have to do that to be a Christian, but you can do it right in your heart. You don't have to use the paper. It's just an idea maybe to memorialize it. But let's listen to this video, and then we'll wrap up. Of your son, Jesus. God, I pray that even now tonight, as we are all here in this room together, listening to prayers, listening to scripture, listening to your word, God, I pray that there would be some in here who might even place their faith and trust in you tonight. God, you have spoken to us through your word in Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. God, we praise you and we thank you. Amen. If you would take your candles, turn those on, and we will enjoy singing together Silent Night. And at the end of that, you are welcome to go home. Stick around afterwards for refreshments, but that'll be the conclusion of our service. Merry Christmas.
Church, let's stand together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Church, have a great rest of your evening.